Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, gods. Welcome to Oracle's Reading by Omega 7. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. I'm glad you could join me. I've been away for a while. The summer has had me very busy, but I haven't forgotten about all of my followers. Thank you for following the leader. Thank you for supporting me on Blog Talk and listening to my recordings. We have a great series for you. This is going to be possibly a two-part series. Hold tight.
That's for you. I ate up. soil you're drinking. Damn it, we're putting on your own show. You guys do some talking. I'm a guest today.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we just had a prowler out in front of the house, tapping at my window. I had no idea who it was, and I went out there and discovered it was my friend, but he shook me up pretty bad there. I thought somebody was trying to get me. The boogeyman was on his way in here. Anyway, this evening's show is all about building community. But since we have a guest in the audience, I'm going to let him do a little talking before we get started, talking about community and how he has helped his community by mowing the lawn and assisting and showing them how. Hold tight. This is Mr. Richardson, Charles Richardson, from the west side of town.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, I used to run around the track, and I thought that I wasn't doing anything running around the track, and I started cutting grass. And I've done it for quite a long time. And you get a lot of exercise out of that. I was asked to speak
about
the community today. So I hear that we're going to bring the Fifth Avenue Library back into existence. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I know everybody's happy about that because everybody was disappointed to see that go. But I understand that it took quite a bit of expense to run that operation. And so now they see fit to bring it back into existence. After I heard a little bit more about it, I kind of understood why it went out of existence, and I'm glad to see it coming back.
Hey, ask you a few questions.
All right, Mr. Richardson. Now, I know you've been an avid assistant in that community on the west side of Gary. We're going to be trying to focus more on leaving some legacies behind. And one of the things we wanted to leave behind was a community center. We don't want it just to be a hangout place where people play cards and checkers, but we want to give the parent power. For God's sake, we got to give more power to the parent. And you know how I feel about extending power. So when we extend that power to the parent, we want these parents to have full operations of that community. We want them to be able to assist their children who are in the special ed programs. So, therefore, we're focusing in on a specific community center, and that will be a community center for Parent Resource Center, which is one of the popular PTIs. They are now making it specific for our culture. It can be focused in on Hispanic, Asians, or African Americans. In our two-part series, we're going to be breaking down to you about how to write a grant, how to even submit and answer a proposal. Now, I have some questions for Mr. Richardson, and this is not really staged because normally I go into the community and I talk to my people. It just so happens he showed up here in our studio. So we're going to get him in this audience and get him talking because he's not a big talker, but he's going to talk tonight. So anyway, I like to ask Mr. Richardson, in the time that he has been here in Indiana, what type of community effort have you seen? And are the people at liberty to support one another on ideas? Or are they pretty stuck on frozen viewpoints?
Well, you might ask, what kind of community is it? This is a church community. And your church is different things to different people because the church is so broad, and this is an avenue that when you walk down, it gives you a reason to be living. And there are so many religions around that sometimes it causes difficulty. And I'm wondering, with the world in such a shape here now, what's really going to happen when the society gets stressed? Will this church be able to handle the situation? Let's hope so. But Because in your mind, you have to have some place to go.
Mr. Richardson, that's a good point. The church is supposed to be radical. They're supposed to be movers and shakers, and they're supposed to be able to intervene when change approaches the community. They are actually a healer. And I don't think they really know their purpose anymore. I think that they think we're here to entertain them. However, they don't realize that they're the medicine. They're the bomb in Gilead that we've been looking for. And we've got to call them to this exercise. We've got to actually hold them responsible for not healing the people that are walking around staggering, lost, without direction, those young men who have no aim. We've got to hold them responsible for the condition of our community. Just like Katrina had a massive, massive disconnection, relocation of families, and everybody looked around and they blamed Mabel. Mabel and her husband took the blame. They were the ram in the bush. And they put the blame on Mabel and her husband because they said that they didn't act appropriately and they didn't act impromptu. They acted impromptu and they refused to take the people out of the nursing homes. Instead, they carried them on their backs and trying to relieve them from their distress, they drug them out one by one after this explosion happened. And it was an explosion. It wasn't just a levee breaking. There was an explosion. And Mabel decided to get her a lawyer, and she had Attorney Cobbs handle the case. Attorney Cobbs came in skilled, and he turned that thing around, and he pointed the direction on the person that should be focusing on, the people who really held responsibility for the levee breaking and not making preparation. There's always somebody out there looking for an scapegoat. They want to point the finger and direct the cause of someone else. Well, I say that a lot of conditions have happened to cause us to not to have community anymore, but we as black people are communal people, so it's in our DNA to be communal people. And we can bring that caustic record up anytime we want to and reinvent community in our hearts. And I think Mr. Richardson and I was a prime example of community being recreated. When I met him, he extended the right hand of fellowship and showed himself friendly. And when you show yourself friendly, you got a friend indeed. And that's what he did. And I believe that him living in that community is a much better place because he extends himself to others and shows himself friendly. And I told him up front that I was looking for a good friend. And a friend that's loyal is better than silver and gold. But importantly, more so than anything, black people have got to learn. We've got to believe in each other again. We got to hold faith in each other, and we cannot look down on each other with a jaundiced eye by saying that a Negro ain't nothing. We've got to look at ourselves in a better light and see the God in us. As I told you earlier, we are the only gods we're going to ever see, and that God exists in you and I. So I like to say good evening, gods, to each and every one of you. The God that you're looking for is in you. He had to express himself through someone, so he placed himself in you and I. There'll be no other gods coming unless you and I show up. So let the gods come into the house tonight so we can convene to develop a plan to put our communities back together and to have our family resource centers so that we can have communal again and show ourselves friendly amongst one another and extend the right hand of fellowship so that we don't extend a fist balled up or a fist with a gun, but extend the right hand of fellowship so brothers can love one another again. And they will know us by the way we love one another. Hold tight, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back at you and bringing you a whole list of what our proposal is for bringing community together. And everyone out there, just think, Gary, Indiana, you are going to be able to have this program on your map. You are going to be able to extend to the four corners of this state the assistance that they need to write grants to have a PPI or a community resource center. With the help of our technical assistant, We'll be bringing in that engineer to assist us to distribute all of the necessary things that it takes to make a resource center so that each side, the west side, the east side, the north side, and the south side will have their very own community plan. Now, I didn't say center. It's going to take you getting together to make it happen. We're going to extend the plan. We're going to give you the tools to work with. We have the planning book for the actual grant writing session. And if you attend that grant writing session, you get tools that you need to answer the RFP so that you can write the vision. But he that readeth and let it run with it, for the vision is for this appointed time. We have a system behind us now. I just went to a meeting last night over at the library, and the librarian is interested in our plan. And he wants to support us and wants us to have a branch of our resource and referral center right there in the library in the area of Gary, Indiana. Yes, you guessed it. We're going to be doing things here in Gary. Yes, there is a bomb in Gillian, and we're going to have to point it out and find it. And we're going to have to stop thinking about walking away and leaving and thinking about how we can stay here and plant the vision. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring our guest back to us again. He's out in the audience. And I'm going to ask him, what is his vision for the black man here in Gary? What would he like to see done with the black man? And how can the black man get back up on his feet again?
A circle is equal to the sum total of all of its parts. And if you go to Alice in Wonderland, when she went down in the hole and saw this caterpillar on a toadstool, she fell down in this hole, and when she stood up, and the caterpillar saw her, and she asked him, which way should I go? And he asked her where she was trying to get to. So she said, well, I don't know. And the reason why he asked her that is because you have to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, he told her, that you'll get somewhere, but if you don't have a plan, you don't know where you're going to get. So if you get a plan, which is the purpose in life, you set a plan, you follow it, and then after that plan is through, you set another plan. And that's the way we get somewhere. But just to wander around in circles without a plan, then you won't get anywhere. And that's what the trouble is with us in our communities. We don't have a plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richardson. I think you said exactly what I'm looking for is a plan. And upon that note, we're going to give you a plan. We talked about bringing you family resource centers, and we're not going to be focusing in on the PTI because we have an in-source center called the PTI. We want to break it down to the element of having a family resource community center. Now, what is the definition of a family resource center? You're probably asking yourself that. Well, according to our PHP, which is a Family Resource Center Training and Technical Assistant, and we refer to them as the in-house experts, and they're located out of Santa Clara, California. Now, according to them, the definition of Family Resource Center is Family Resource Center, ideally a parent-directed comprehensive one-stop shop for services providers that reflect the client and the act as a link between the families and professionals. We do not supply or replace or duplicate any other part of the care system. Rather, family resource centers fill the gap that has existed too long in the care of all children and families. Many of these families have social, economic, occupational, educational, or geographically status despite and deficits and concerns, or they may be ill or have disabilities. And some of you parents know exactly what I'm talking about. Those of you who have cerebral palsy children, Down syndrome, what have you, ADHD with hyperactivity and without it. Families who originally started calling their agencies family resource centers are beginning to call themselves PDFRCs, parent-directed family resource centers. At this point in time, many people are struggling to define family resource centers as they begin to perceive themselves as part of an answer to perhaps preventions of all kinds and education, health, legal, social problems related to children and families. A lot of current human beings are talking about family resource centers. Come from Part H of Public Law 99457. Now, these are the laws that we're going to be introducing you to. Yes, you're going to become a bit of a case law expert on regulation. A federal law passed in 1989 to enhance the care of our populated age from 0 to 3 years old. This law was the reauthorization of Public Law 94-132, which I'm sure you're most familiar with, for the free and appropriate education, and that's FIBA, free and appropriate education for the least restricted environment of all handicapped children in the least restrictive environment. And I'm sure you've heard that term in special ed. As part of this law, family resource centers were mandated. Recently, family preservative legislation has also enhanced many communities interested in the concept of having family resource centers. However, that was not the birth of family resource centers. It was simply their corning out our parties. Because many of us now, veteran parents, started the first family resource center years and years ago. Parents pioneered in this area have recently felt a protective need to clearly define family resource centers and disseminate the information, lest something that already exists start to be redefined by others who may not be aware of its existence or history. Now, that's a bit of the history there that I wanted to give you, and I wanted you to understand that there is a definition for Family Resource Center and specific things that the federal government wants you to adhere to. So we're going to break these things down and set up steering committees. And the first steering committee will be defining Family Resource Center, number one, in a nutshell. The second one will be adding programs to your Family Resource Center, number two. Number three, mentoring visiting parent programs. That means going to their home, to be exact. Number four, in a nutshell, facilitating support group meetings. Number five, information and referral with direction. Number six, parent-child bonding gifts. That's why you're going to be taking baskets of gifts to homes. So we're going to start revisiting these homes again, those people who are shut in and never get visitors, especially visitors from the social worker or from the school. We have to start doing that again. Number seven, developing and maintaining information packages. That's right. We have to have those information packages ready. When parents phone over the phone and ask for information, we have to have those kits already prepared to pass out to the parent so that those parents will know exactly what services that we're rendering. Number eight, a unitary resource file. And this is what we used to use a long time ago, the U file in the library. So we're going to be building our library, and that's what this resource center is, a library of the laws that pertain to disability and children who are challenged. We all have disabilities, but we like to use differentiated and challenged instead of disability. In a nutshell, once again, our ninth area is creating a newsletter, and that's very vital. There's no newsletter circulating in the black community. They can't go to their mailbox and find a newsletter from some of their members or friends in the community. that is going to be a, there's going to be a steering committee who will handle that newsletter. And we won't be peeping in, making decisions and telling them what to put and what not to put. That steering committee will have everything it needs to have in order to write a decent newsletter with editors, of course, so that we can get out news and not misspelling and diction that is incorrect. We sure will have someone to assist them so that we get out the best news and the most accurate news and timely. So you know how we do sometimes. We might say we'll do a newsletter this month, but no, we're not going to do it next month. We got to have some consistency amongst ourselves. And that's what we've been falling short of, inconsistency. Do anything you want to do, anytime you want to do, just like the Addams Family. Just do what you want to do. And well, it's not going on anymore because we're creating community. In a nutshell, once again, creating the library. Now, here's where I want to put a little time into it. Most of you who were coming up when I came up, grew up around libraries, if not outside of your home, your mother's created libraries within your basement or in your attic somewhere. We had a library in our home. That's one of the reasons why I became a teacher and I enjoy reading, because we was required to go to that library and read from books that we had gotten from all over on a daily basis. Television wasn't running 24 hours a day in our home. We had to go to the reading room, to the library, and find a book and read it. Have you read a book today? Now, you know that's what my show used to be called, Care to Read. So you know we're going to put some emphasis on the reading. And that's what it's about, bringing intellect back into the home. And we're not just making our men intellectually inclined, but the sisters going to get down with it too so they can beef up their intellect ability and start having some conscious books in their repertoire. And I mean books from Dr. Ben, Dr. Leonard Jeffrey, Dr. Carruthers, Dr. Ben Yokin. We're going to start bringing our book team back together for the African Study of Civilization, ASCAP. There's required reading on that list. And African Americans, I will bet right here in Gary, none of you have never heard about the African Study of Civilization. Well, there needs to be an after school program created in every black community to represent the books that are mandatory that we can read, so we won't be miseducated about our infusion of African centricity. Now, number 14 in a nutshell. Now, let me say another thing about that library. We're going to have a technical assistant in that library, someone that has the ability to set up our computers, our laptops, so that the laptops are made available in that resource and referral center. We're going to be the regional office there on the west side of town in Gary, Indiana. Hopefully, we will find a spot there so we can house it there in the community where I grew up at, on the west side, the Tolleston area, the best side. Not to mention that the other ones are not good, they're all good. But the main thing is our regional office will be the umbrella facility of the technical assistant, which will send out technicians to aid and assist you in grant writing and aid and assist you in setting up your parent resource center. Now, hold on for a minute. Everybody cannot be the president, and nor can everybody be the treasurer. You will have to vote in your board, and you will have to run your organization with parliamentary procedures, and you will have to be accountable, because these non-for-profit agencies will house people that will be working part-time only. So once you write your grant, you can write your part-time salary in there. So we want to create jobs, you say, Omi. Yes, I do. And those parents who have been working as advocates all their life, they now could be a surrogate advocate and get paid for their skills as an advocate for special ed. The government says so, not Omi. Part 3 says that every parent that has a special needs child who's been advocating for this child is eligible under Title 3 to apply for employment in government agencies. Go out there and tell them you know the law. Pull the law. Take the law to them and tell them that you would like a job working in advocacy. And that's what this is about. If you help enough people to get what they want, then you can get everything that you want. Now, Once again, creating the library is very important because we're going to have the technical equipment. We're not talking about putting all of our equipment there to be stolen and ripped off by anybody. You can't steal from yourself. So look alive, good brother, because if you are destroying your own community and if you are taking from your own community, then you're not worth the salt in your beans. You're going to protect your communities, to rebuild community, and that's what this is about. And this airway, this is going all across the airway, and the board of the library there in Gary, Indiana, will be able to access this particular transcript and hear what I'm saying, because they want to know what are our plans for this Parent Resource Center. I don't think there could be any better person that would be prepared for this than myself. I ran two Parent Information Center in Schaumburg, Hannibal Park, and Hoffman Estate for over 3 years under the auspices of psychologists who handled the CHAD chapter. Go look it up. I was the founder of that Parent Information Center. I love the concept of community and parent. Out of all the jobs I held, that was the most important to me because it was servicing parents and empowering parents to help themselves, to help their children, and to be a role model for their children. And that's the only claim to fame that I claim, not my teacher's license, not the many years that I've taught, not my retirement, but what legacies I can leave behind here as a parent. And as a parent, we've got to duplicate the old concept. Each one, teach one. And we've got to get our children back in check again. And the only way we can do that, we must have a place to meet. Anything that you have as a concept, if you want to defend that concept, you need somewhere to meet, to eradicate, to write addendums, and to talk about your concept. Now, these are our concepts, to put a bit of our culture back into place and give our children a little mother wit of Africanism again. So how are the African children? And how is the African family? The question here today is to be or not to be African. That is the question. And in opening up the Parent Information Center, that means we are being African and conserving communal lifestyle. And that is a part of our rituals and tradition. And we want to introduce some, but reintroduce most to the concept. It's beneficial for all people. However, I am speaking specifically to the African family because we are the ones that are disconnected now. We are the ones that have lost our way. We are the ones who don't know our Africanism anymore. And we are the ones that were the oldest founders and all of the bones of their niche was of a black woman. So we brought all civilization into being, but we've lost our way, and we must find our way back to Mother Africa. Now, as I said that about the computers and that technical system, it will be a library. There will be a lending library, and parents can check out the materials and take them home for a period of time, but they must bring them back in good shape. Now, I have agencies that are willing to support us and to help us to have the tools that we need to help children with disabilities. Now, Dr. Umar Johnson, you've been praying and praying for schools and independent schools, but you've forgotten all about the Parent Resource Center. And you've gathered all the parents under you, but they need a gathering place to go. Let it be the Parent Resource Center. As I can even extend my help to you to organize those parents. I am a parent organizer, and I'm just working in the facade of a teacher, but I'm really a parent organizer. Now, we want you to hear this, Dr. Umar, that we are here and available to you. I heard your cry, Dr. Umar. I heard what you said when you said that you will have that school and you prefer to have it in Pennsylvania, but you would be willing to go to Mississippi. Why not come to Gary, Indiana, to formalize the parent and to do the Parent Resource Center so we can have the connection across the globe? And I'm talking directly to you, Dr. Umar. You may not remember me, but we spoke briefly before through Brother Kojo Bidiako over the phone when you revealed your vision about the parents coming together to have your institution in your school. And the first place we start must be the organization of parent centers. Now, I won't say too much about that. Hopefully we will hear from Brother Umar soon. Now, holding our conferences, that is going to be the big thing, is developing and training you to prepare conferences that will extend themselves internationally eventually. We will start off on a shoestring at first, and we will start our conferences right here at home in our humble community where our conferences will be attended by families all over. Now, I will say this much. My ministry was ministries of families. People from all over that were families came to the ministry. So workshops is my specialty, and I intend to extend that training to you to help you develop workshops, symposiums, and seminars on families of disabled children. And while we'll be working with families of disabled children, we'll also be helping babies from the bench. That's right. You've heard the lecture on helping 0 to 3 babies from the bench, helping them to go back and reunite to their mothers in the home. Excuse me. Now, we're about to bring this thing to a close. Then we have number 14. As I said, holding the conference on a shoestring, our conferences are very important. Number 15, assessing and planning tools for your Family Resource Center. We'll have a committee that will steer that as well. Number 16, a system development guide for a special needs Family Resource Center. What is that all about? We'll get into that. Number 17, guidelines and minimum requirements for a Family Resource Center. What are those requirements? What guidelines do we have? Now, I want you to stay tuned, and I can't give it all to you today, but I bet if you stay with me, you'll get the gist of what I'm talking about. And every Family Resource Center has a format and a template, and they must look similar, and they have certain criteria that they must follow. And we'll be giving workshops on grants, how to do the grants and write the RFVP, what is necessary. There are over 10 grants that goes out to the Family Resource Center per year. I don't have the dates, but we ought to be getting prepared for a workshop so you can get prepared to write your grant and choose your board and decide what areas of specialty you want to serve. So we'll have a format. And we'll follow that guideline. You just can't do any old doggone thing. You must follow the federal guideline because the money will come from them. Now, if we don't get funding from them and we don't get awarded the grant, Indiana has already been awarded some money. So we have a PT that's over us. And what are they doing with the money? How are they servicing our community? We want to know all of those things. Who's going to the meetings with the parents? And if children are out on suspension, who is advocating and mediating and arbitrating and due processing these children back in the classroom? We have to have more than one person here that's allocated to Gary. We have to have some people here so we can do a better job of community work. So it's very vital that you be a part of our session for tomorrow, part two of rebuilding our communities through raising up parent community resource centers. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be back at you tomorrow, but I want you to understand that Mr. Richardson came to give you a little insight about how vital it is to have a plan. And what I've given you today was a plan, and it was a mouthful. However, he made it more simplistic in telling you the story. And please, that story is one that you can hold in your cosmic record. And when you want to identify with what we talked about tonight, just remember that story. I want to thank Mr. Richardson for dropping by to giving us some insight on what we could do to build community resource centers, parent community resource centers, back in our communities and putting our communities back together. Now, if we're not going to have schools and they're going to take the libraries away, then we're definitely going to have parent resource centers because we must find somewhere we can commune and come together as parents in unity. And this is a time when parents are going to have to raise up and become role models for their children in special education. The children in special education are walking away with only a piece of paper that is not equivalent or acceptable in most places for employment. We must do better than that. We must find a way that we can deviate from these no-nonsense curriculums that they've been given in school for special ed. We must intrigue these children to a higher level of consciousness than giving them played-down, watered-down curriculum that gives them no credentials or diploma. We have got to get on top of this, teachers, and I'm calling on you to be a part of this because we know better than this. They can't go as far as around the corner with a certificate that has no value to it. So why are we wasting these children's time in school if we can't give them a decent education? Then we can do it through our community schools. I'm proposing that we also have a co-op school within our main office, which will be a Montessori in the home. And for all those mothers who would like to become mothers again and learn how to train their child up from their home as a Montessori specialist in their home, that will be available as well as a distance learning program. But we'll set the pace for having a model school within our regional office, and that is one of the plans. Now, that's the plan for you. Now, read the vision and write the vision. And he that readeth it, let him run with it, because the vision is for the appointed time here and now. Meet us back here tomorrow, bright and early at 10 p.m. We'll see you then, and we say, Baba Booey to you, y'all, and oh, gobble.